What kind of hostility do Christians encounter? When does hostility become persecution? And how can we respond? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Standing Firm is written by scientist Dr. Jesse Yao. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution.
The first Reformation was about belief. This one needs to be about behavior. It's not about creeds, it's about deeds.
That's Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church, a megachurch pastor. He is an evangelical guru. He is a virtual factory, a one-man factory of evangelical cliches. And there's one of them. That's not new to him. He didn't come up with that one, deeds, not creeds. But he did popularize it about 10 years ago, really forms his critique of Christianity. We've had a reformation of belief. Now we need a reformation of behavior, he says, deeds, not creeds. Joining us to evaluate this evangelical cliche on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 29th, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He edits Around the Word Devotions. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Isn't the phrase deeds, not creeds, ironically, a creed in itself?
Yeah, that's right. Deeds, not creeds. Everyone say it with me. Deeds, not creeds. Amen. I mean, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Luther makes a very, very similar point about the irony of the enthusiasts in his day. These were people who said that that the Holy Spirit doesn't come through the Word, through the external Word, preaching and meditating on God's Word, but rather it comes in our own hearts. And Luther says, well, if they're so convinced that the Holy Spirit doesn't come through words, then they should stop writing and filling the world with all their prattle. It's this great point, is that you try to escape theology, and all you do is you craft a new and different theology. You try to escape doctrine, and what you do is you craft a new teaching. You try to escape, you try to escape some sort of legalism, and in the process, you become the biggest legalist yourself. So it's exactly right. The idea of deeds, not creeds, is a doctrine. It's a theological point, but it's kind of an atheological theology, which is absolutely the worst to have.
Okay, it's set within the broader context of we often say that evangelicalism is ahistorical, aliturgical, creedal, and then we have a couple others that we toss in there. It's our kind of diagnosis of American evangelicalism, but that last one there, it comes from a context of either being ambivalent about creeds to being actually against creeds in evangelicalism. Where does this come from? How does it express itself?
Well, to track it historically, you probably have a couple of things going on. So you have in the Lutheran Reformation, you have the development of the doctrine of sola scriptura. And that is that the Bible alone is our source and norm for doctrine and teaching. It is the only infallible source for instruction in the Christian life, for both what we believe and also what we are to do. And by the way, with sola scriptura, we also should say that the Lutherans especially taught sola scriptura when they were talking about the means of grace. In other words, the Bible is the only mechanism that the Holy Spirit uses to create and sustain faith and to give spiritual blessings. That's really probably what it first meant. But the Radical Reformation kind of branches off of that and says, hey, we go along with the sola scriptura, which means we can have no other confession by men. So we're gonna knock out any sort of talk of the creeds, of confessions, of any sort of articulation of theology outside the Bible. That's where you get another popular cliche of evangelicalism, which is no creed but the Bible, which again has the great irony of also being a creed. So you take that one, or the one strand of sola scriptura kind of going crazy to cut off the church's ability to make a confession of faith. In fact, it ends up kind of putting a muzzle in the church and says, don't say anything. What God said is it, and you can't even confess that truth. And then you take a second strain of theology, which we identify as pietism, and that is the emphasis on Christian living more than theological articulation. And you put those two streams together, and you come up with this perfect and tragic storm of deeds, not creeds. What matters is our love and not our faith. What matters is our doing and not our believing. And this is simply tragic.
Okay, so you've introduced the notion of kind of the false dilemma or the false dichotomy, that there is somehow a competition between belief or doctrine and life. Talk about that.
Well, and you want to ask the question, why would you put those two against each other? I mean, Jesus and the apostles and the prophets never seemed to think that doctrine and life should be against each other. In fact, the very opposite is true when we look in the scriptures. I mean, what you believe affects what you do. What you confess is bound right up to how you live. In fact, the Psalms, this is so great, the Psalms will say, go so far as to say, that the character of the God that you worship is reflected in your own life. So the people of Israel, for example, are tempted to worship the idols, and the idols have no eyes, they can't see, they're blind. The idols have no mouths, they can't speak, they're mute. The idols have no ears, they're deaf. And then the Psalms will say stuff like, those who worship them become like them. So that our theology is emphatically bound up to how we live our lives, both in the church and as Christians. And so never in the scripture would you put those things against each other. So now you come back, probably now I've just introduced your question. What would make someone want to put those two things against each other? Deeds and not creeds, as if they somehow are opposed to one another or somehow antithetical to one another? And I think the only motivation we have is this idea that has always been in the church, that doctrine is what divides us and love unites us. So people see that this insistence on a purity of doctrine brings division in the church, and they just don't like that division. So they want to overcome it by emphasizing our deeds and not the creeds.
I do want to take up Rick Warren's kind of very interesting... I know he is seminary educated, and I'm sure that he has studied the Reformation in some detail. And he's not an unintelligent guy in any sense whatsoever, but we heard him in that little actuality at the beginning that, you know, the first Reformation was one of faith or of doctrine, belief, all those things go together. But there's a need for a second Reformation that is of behavior. That's a peculiar view of the Reformation. Is it accurate?
No, of course not. I mean, this dichotomy is nowhere found. I mean, it's put on the Reformation by someone who has a peculiar agenda to bring against the Reformation. So to be going back and say, hey, you know, those Lutherans, they were just interested in the doctrine, in what the church said was true. They were interested in truth. So they said, hey, justification is by grace through faith, and they made a bunch of confessions, like the Augsburg Confession and all this. So they were just interested maybe even in the mind and in getting things right. But we are so big-hearted and magnanimous and holy that we are going to be interested in much more than that now. We are going to be interested in how people live, how they live out their Christian faith. We really are not so concerned about confessing the truth, but rather we are concerned with manifesting love in our daily lives. Now, that is a particular agenda that's being used to read history, and it's simply not accurate. I mean, the Lutherans were accused even in their own day. They you read all these lines, we were accused of forbidding good works, and they say, that's nuts. We don't forbid good works. No, we teach good works. We encourage good works, and in fact, we are the ones who show how they can be done, namely as the fruit of faith which trusts in the pure gospel.
Then this notion, like you talked about before, the tendency to split belief away from behavior. What is the deficiency that's perceived by those who continue to push this deeds, not creeds? What are these? They're looking at a situation. This is what I'm always curious about. Who are they looking at? Does Rick Warren have a bunch of licentious people coming to his church every day? Is he somehow observing or dealing with pastorally people who have no sense of how Christians behave. What's the problem they're trying to solve?
Well, it's all, you know, Walter talks about this temptation of when the pastor sits there and he looks at his people and he sees sins in their lives, and the temptation is always going to be to push with the gospel to straighten people out. So there's always going to be that temptation. Whenever you see sinners, you say, ah, ha, ha. You know, they know the gospel in their mind, but apparently they're not able to live out the law, so we got to come with the law and push the question of works and obedience rather than the question of faith and doctrine. But I think that's not really the real target. I think when Rick Warren and these kind of pietistic guys do this, they're really going for those churches who insist on articulating the truth in a precise way. That would be you, Todd, and me, I suppose, and maybe there's a few Calvinists who are also interested in that. That's really the only people left who are interested in orthodoxy, and that's who he's going for, make no mistake.
So it's back to doctrine divides.
Yeah, that's right, because they say that our insistence on keeping an orthodox confession is keeping the church splintered into all these different confessions. You know, you got your Lutherans, and you got your Methodists, and you got your Presbyterians, you got your Catholics, and they look at this and they say, it should not be this way. We should all be one church, you know, the one holy Christian and Saddleback Catholic Church, you know, under one pope, or maybe two. You know, you have to ask Rick Warren about that. That's their goal. That's what they are perceiving, that the division in the church is a shameful sort of thing, and so we need to overcome it by de-emphasizing those things that that divide us.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're responding to an evangelical cliche on this Tuesday afternoon, Deeds Not Creeds. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and he's co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're going through evangelical cliches today. Deeds, not creeds. In about 15 minutes, today is the day of St. Michael and All Angels. And in about 15 minutes at Lutheran Talk Radio 24/7, issuesetc.org, you will hear a hymn study with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the hymn Stars of the Morning So Gloriously Bright, appropriate to the church's day today, followed by a conversation with Dr. Charles Geeshan of Concordia Theological Seminary there in Fort Wayne on St. Michael and All Angels. That's in about 15 minutes at Lutheran Talk Radio 24/7, issuesetc.org. Brian, so we have this notion that if we contend for doctrine, the church will remain divided. There's a variation of this I'm sure you're aware of, and that is if we contend for doctrine, we're going to harm our witness, and we're not going to have time to do any mission work. Is that a variation of deeds, not creeds?
Oh, yeah. I ran into that the other day. But I should say, I want to say before I answer the question, I was listening to the 24-hour station yesterday when you guys went off the air, and you guys rebroadcast the interview from Maggie Carner.
Yeah.
That was stunning. It was just absolutely stunning. Well, I mean, what a fantastic thing to hear her bold confession of faith as she faced up to death and her great hope to see the face of Jesus, which we now know is realized. That's just so. Thank you for that and for the work that you guys do on keeping this going around the clock.
Oh, we're happy really to do wonderful. It.
Now, I was visiting with someone. They wanted to come over here to Hope and use the space for a little congregation that they have, and they said they asked if they could rent the space from us. And so I was meeting with the two pastors they have there, and I said, no, we won't rent you the space. We'll give you the space. I mean, you can use the space for absolutely free as long as we agree on the doctrine and we have the same teaching. I mean, then we're the same church, you know, and your space is our space. We can share this together. So let's get together and talk about the doctrine. So we got together to talk about the doctrine, and, you know, it turned out they were just kind of typical American evangelical theology. They rejected the Lord's gift of baptism to children. They rejected the Lord's gift of his body and his blood to his people. They rejected the Lord's gift of the Holy Spirit working through, you know, the whole kind of thing. And I said, you know, this is a problem, is we don't share the same doctrine. And they said, well, look, we want to have the right doctrine. We don't think that the doctrine, though, is that important. We're more interested in evangelism. An unbelievable thing to say. And I said, could you say it again? And so they said, yeah, we're more interested in reaching out to people and pushing the mission forward than we are in the doctrine and in the theology. And I said, well, I don't understand what you're saying, because when Jesus tells us to do the work of making disciples of all nations, when he sets us to that task of evangelism and of mission work, he tells us how to do it. And that is to baptize in his name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach everything that he commanded. I mean, you have to have the theology of baptism and the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you have to have the teaching of all of the things that Jesus does if you want to have evangelism. Again, it's this crazy idea of putting a dichotomy, putting two things against each other, that the Scripture binds up together. I mean, if doctrine and evangelism are hand in hand in the Scripture, just like faith and love are hand in hand. But to say that we're more interested in evangelism than in doctrine, we want to have deeds and not creeds, this is to tear apart two things that the Lord has bound up together. And this does violence to the Scripture, and it does violence to the people who are under this teaching.
This, the strongest tool we have, apart from the preaching, the formal preaching of law and gospel, of God's word and law and gospel, in the church for evangelism are the creeds. It's actually our confession to the world of what Christians believe. Do you want to know what we believe? Do you know what we believe is true? Do you know what our hope is? Here's our testimony. Here's our witness. These three creeds.
Yeah, that's right. And you know who else is interested in doctrine? It's the devil, who is constantly coming to fight against the confession of the church. I mean, the last thing the devil wants us to do is to confess clearly Jesus as our Lord. That's why Paul will say, no one can confess that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And the devil is constantly fighting against that confession. Now, I'll tell you who rejoices whenever a preacher says we're interested in deeds, not creeds, is the devil himself. Because now he doesn't even have anything to oppose. I mean, it's crazy, this idea that to not be interested in the truth of the Scriptures, to forsake the idea of confessing the truth before men. Jesus is the one who warns us, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father, and if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. I mean, if nothing else should warn us about the importance of making the good confession, of saying the creeds, it would be those words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 10.
And if you, what I like to do with these evangelical cliches is when you can, is to flip them on their heads and see how that flies with the evangelical who spouts them. So they'll come and they'll say, deeds, not creeds. And just for the sake of argument, say, okay, what if I were to say, creeds, not deeds? Now, I think the reaction would be, no, you can't tear those two things apart. I think that would be their reaction.
You would hope, but it's not. I mean, it's not. That's the whole point. They need these things against each other. The other way to flip it on its head is to say, hey, look, I think you're right. We need to be about the deeds of keeping the second commandment and the third commandment, and that is confessing the truth before men. So to make the confession of faith into a deed, the first deeds that the Lord is in fact commanding of us, to show how these things go together. But they want them torn apart because they don't, I mean, it is a thing. You know, when you have a church called the non-denominational church, I mean, that just that phrase right there is saying we are against the naming of things. I mean, that's what denomination means. It means to denote, to name something, to give it a label. And they're saying we are against these labels. Of Lutheran and Methodist and all this sort of stuff, we are going to be free from all these man-made doctrines and man-made opinions and man-made traditions, and we are just going to have the Bible. And any sort of attempt to denominate, that is to have a creed, we are going to resist. But of course it's a sham. I mean, every church has a confession, and if they don't, they're not a church at all. Every church has a creed, a statement of faith, or, I don't know, a vision statement or something like that. If they don't, you couldn't call them a Christian church. So the whole thing is really, when it comes down to it, a question of marketing. We want to be the nice people who are open and don't have all these strict doctrinal standards.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He co-hosts a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he is editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
You got it, Todd.
Up next on Lutheran Talk Radio 24/7, we will observe, along with the church, the Day of St. Michael and All Angels by studying the hymn Stars of the Morning, So Gloriously Bright. Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. We'll also talk with Dr. Charles Geeshan about St. Michael and all angels. That's next on Lutheran Talk Radio 24/7, issuesetc.org, and on the new Lutheran Public Radio app. Tonight, at our 24/7 sacred music station, we're going to play Bach's cantata appointed for St. Michael and all angels. Lord God, we all praise you and shall simply thank you for once creating your angels. That's tonight at 8 Central, 9 Eastern, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific, at LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org, and also on the LPR mobile app. When you hear those words, deeds, not creeds, try that, just flipping it around, creeds, not deeds. And perhaps you might come to some agreement with your evangelical friend who's fond of that cliche, that the two belong together, that Scripture keeps them together, that Christ keeps them together, and that they go together in the life of the Christian. They are not in any way whatsoever opposed to one another. And that really, if you want the one, you must have the other. If you want the deeds that so many people believe are lacking, first there must be something to believe. There must be some reason behind it. There must be a clear confession of the all-sufficient deeds and works of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.